This is Central Time here on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up, last year's flu season was historically mild. That may not be the story this time around. Wisconsin's top education official says public schools deserve investment, not arguments and divisiveness. Superintendent of Public Instruction Jill Underley gave her first State of Education address last week. She criticized Wisconsin's school funding system, saying it needs more backing at the state level. She said that doing so would also bring the people of the state together. Republicans push back on her calls for additional funding, saying it's never been better, and that's not counting federal pandemic aid. But there appears to be some agreement on creating a stronger civics curriculum. We talked to Superintendent Underley earlier today about those issues and more, including how schools are continuing to deal with COVID-19. Superintendent Underley, welcome back to the show.
Thank you so much for having me here. I'm excited to be here today.
For starters, you are calling for additional funding for Wisconsin schools. How much are you looking for?
Well, the thing is, the big picture here with school finance is that our schools didn't get an increase this year. So we received, you know, the federal money, which the legislature claims is enough. But when we look at it, the big picture here is that the funding that we received is designed for helping schools combat COVID. What we wanted was a per pupil increase at the very least. In the years past, it's been roughly, you know, $200 per child in our public schools. But we didn't get it. And so instead, schools are being asked to use the COVID money to make investments in long-term solutions. Again, it's just one-time money. And we have to look at it that the legislature knows that this is one-time money, and they're putting our kids in the middle of this. It's politics. You know, schools are dealing with so many financial stresses from the pandemic. That money was for those stresses and those immediate expenses. And our kids, again, are the ones that are going to be harmed because we didn't get that increase. And so in 2 years or a year and a half, our schools are going to have to make difficult decisions to either cut programs or staff.
I want to read from a statement from Assembly Speaker Robin Voss, a Republican. Quote, "The Democrats' singular focus to push more money into schools isn't a winning strategy for our kids. We need to look at improving how they are being taught and why so many students are struggling with the basics, reading, writing, and arithmetic." So not just how much we're spending, but are we using it as best we can for those kids?
And that's where I just get frustrated because this stuff costs money. You know, assessments that, you know, Representative Voss is talking about cost money. Everything we do costs money. Expenses go up every year. And so, you know, being a teacher or an educator in Wisconsin isn't charity. I mean, it takes a level of knowledge and expertise. It's expensive work. And the programming is expensive. Having staff is expensive. And so we do need the funding. We need funding to keep up our buildings. Most Wisconsin school districts, need to upgrade their HVAC systems. And again, that costs money. Transportation costs money. So while we do have a myriad of issues that our schools are addressing, it still takes money to get those things done.
Outside of funding issues, what do you see as the biggest challenges facing schools in this, I can't say post-pandemic yet era, but as kids are back in school, as we're hopefully going to be emerging from the pandemic before too long?
Yeah, I mean, certainly there are lots of priorities, and they were issues before the pandemic. So we want to make sure that our schools have the resources that they need to provide the best education possible to our kids. We need to plan to focus time on issues like early childhood education, teacher recruitment and retention. We're losing teachers. We're not getting people going into the profession. And those who are in are not staying as long as they used to. We also have many issues around student mental health. And this, again, was an issue before the pandemic. And then, of course, as I addressed with school finance.
I mentioned a couple of the partisan differences between Republicans and Democrats on school spending. There's been a lot of partisanship related to the schools before the pandemic. Things have heated up in some ways, confrontations at school board meetings, superintendents in some cases let go over mask policies in Wisconsin and elsewhere in the country. What would you like to see to make things a little more civil in our local education institutions?
Well, I think the civility starts with the adults, right? We shouldn't be attacking people. We should be talking about policies. of course, a lot of it is personal, but again, we shouldn't be attacking each other over these things, because really who stands the most to lose are our kids, and it's the future of our state. Unfortunately, things are contentious. Things are very emotional. We shouldn't be directing that anger towards our school leaders or school board members or anyone for that matter who wants to lead. And again, we need to debate the policies. I mean, we can disagree about policies, but that certainly, that discussion that comes out of those disagreements is what makes good policy. We need to make sure that voices are involved in how policies are crafted. And generally, we get to consensus. We may not be entirely 100% happy with the outcome, but we can make sure then that everybody's voice was heard and that the end product or the end policy is what's best for us.
We're talking to Wisconsin Superintendent of Public Instruction Jill Underle after her State of Education address last week, looking at some of the big issues facing Wisconsin schools. Superintendent Underle, you looked at what is sometimes called an achievement gap, a racial achievement gap or outcome gap in Wisconsin. You don't like those labels even. Can you talk about what you like to think of it as?
Well, I've talked about this enough where I hope people are catching on that when we talk about achievement gaps, we look at the reasons why there's differences in literacy scores or math scores. It's generally related to poverty. And we need to make sure then that at the end of the day, it's the opportunities that we are offering kids that tell us their trajectory of success. We need to make sure that we have high quality early childhood programming. We need to make sure that the best and brightest teachers are in front of all of our kids. We need to make sure that all our kids have access to mental health and, you know, healthcare and all these different things that go into making sure our kids are prepared to learn. Finance is another part of that too. When you go from district to school district, you can tell which school districts have the best opportunities for their kids and which schools are just scraping by. And it's not to disparage those school districts that don't have as many opportunities because they're doing the best that they can. But if we want all kids in Wisconsin to be successful, we need to make sure that they all have adequate opportunity and that we can even that out, because that's what equity is about.
Assembly Republicans are planning to take up a bunch of legislation this week related to K through 12 schools. One would effectively ban what they're labeling as critical race theory in schools, some of the specifics prohibiting teaching that one race or gender is inherently superior to another, or that someone is inherently racist, sexist, or oppressive just because they happen to be of a certain race or gender. A couple of the items on their list there. What are you thinking of that effort in the Assembly?
Well, I mean, I think my first response is that I'm surprised and both unsurprised by the fact that it keeps coming up. But it's also the bigger picture here is that we have a legislature that wants to micromanage what our school districts are teaching kids. They want to micromanage the content in our curriculum. They want to micromanage, you know, how we can spend our funding to make sure that we're meeting the needs of all kids. So as far as critical race theory is concerned, I'm surprised that people haven't taken the time to learn what it really is. And critical race theory, again, it's an academic lens that looks at our history, one that is generally confined to higher education. It looks at the origins of things through a lens of racism. On the other hand, you know, like I said, I'm not surprised that this question keeps coming up because it's an example of how we're just constantly being wedged apart. CRT is not being taught in our schools, at least in the way that those who use it to instill fear think it's being taught. Rather, what I want people to realize is that we teach minority history and we teach current events, and that is not critical race theory. And again, no type of learning should ever be abolished. I mean, this is a great example of why it's important to reinforce what many of our students already know, that we need to think critically and verify our sources of information.
Lawmakers also looking at a civics curriculum requirement. And in your address, you talked about the importance of Wisconsin's civics education curriculum. You might be coming at it from different angles, but do you see room for common ground between yourself and legislative Republicans on civics instruction?
Yeah, I do. I mean, I think the legislation has some positive ideas. Certainly getting a civil discourse around civics and how we can strengthen instruction in our schools is important. But what I disagree with is that top-down, again, that micromanaging approach by the legislature. You know, our school districts have the authority to And certainly the legislature can pass the policies, and my job is to execute them, you know, as the member of the executive branch. And certainly if we had a civics requirement, I would be in favor of that. What I'm not, again, in favor is, you know, them deciding what the content is going to be and having it controlled by our rules committee.
As we wrap up, what are your hopes for this current school year?
Well, I think the first thing, you know, is certainly just, again, focusing again on what matters, right? At the end of the day, it's like, we want to make sure that our kids are safe, that they're well-educated, and we need to make sure that there is support for our school districts. I am so worried that all of these issues that are coming through the legislature are intended to divide our communities and distract them from the larger issue at hand, which is making sure that our kids are safe and that we can get through this pandemic. And again, it's not the fault of our school districts that we are still in this pandemic. We're just doing the best that we can to make sure that we can educate kids and do so in the safest way possible.
Superintendent Underlie, thanks again for joining us today.
You bet, Rob. Thank you.
That's Jill Underlie, Wisconsin State Superintendent of Public Instruction. I talked to her earlier today about her first State of Education address for Wisconsin and her priorities for public schools in the state. You can let us know what you think of what Superintendent Underlie had to say at 800-642-1234. What do you think is the most important issue facing schools today? Do you want to see the state spend more on schools? Do you want to see local spending go up or down? Do you have a concern on what and how material is being taught? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or email ideas@WPR.org. We'll pick up the conversation coming up on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Verrett. We're talking about issues facing public schools here in Wisconsin. We just heard from State Superintendent Jill Underlie about her State of Education address last week. She called for more funding from the state for K-12 schools, a civics requirement for high school students, and a literacy task force. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What's on your wish list for Wisconsin's public schools? What is the state of your local district, whether you are a parent, student, a teacher, staff member, or concerned community member? Call it at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email ideas@WPR.org. Now for some analysis on what Superintendent Underlie had to say. Alan Borsick is a senior fellow in law and public policy at Marquette University Law School and an education columnist with the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Alan, welcome back to the show.
Glad to be here.
Well, we hear from the superintendent saying, hey, the schools need more investment from the state. Leading Republican lawmakers saying, hey, we've got a lot of money going in, plus federal relief money going to schools. That's not the problem. What's your read, Alan, on the current state of school funding in Wisconsin?
Well, a lot depends on how you assess that federal money. And even that isn't quite so helpful to schools because it's weighted to poverty. So districts that don't have much poverty aren't getting much federal money and getting no increase in the revenue cap, the per student state and local aid, means that they're facing difficult problems, primarily in the middle class and above districts. A district like MPS is going to get that federal money. On the other hand, it is short-term money. A lot of it is committed to physical improvements in the schools, air conditioning and air quality, and who knows what. So I don't think anybody's rolling in any money on the school side. I'm having trouble paying attention to all of these legislative and general capital debates because there's so little cooperation and so little is going to come out of them. The governor proposes something, you know, the Republicans aren't going to do it. The Republicans propose something, you know, the governor's going to veto it. It's just like they're engaged in some strange theatric ritual that isn't really going to produce anything at a time we really need to be concerned about how kids are doing in school.
Is this the way it's always been, Alan, or is it, I think, worse now when it comes to this partisan standoff over what we do with our schools?
Well, it's always been highly partisan, but it's definitely worse now. And there were times when it wasn't so bad. You know, Tommy Thompson, who's now the head of the UW system, when he was governor, he liked the Big Ten. He liked to bring the Democrats on board, and sometimes he did with some fairly big ideas. But we live in just extraordinarily polarized and hyper-partisan times. And yes, I think objectively it's worse now.
Staying with school funding for a moment, we have that two-thirds commitment saying the state money is going to cover two-thirds of costs at schools. You locals, you do the rest, mostly with property taxes. Is that still happening? Is the state still reaching that level of funding?
Well, yes. In the budget, which amazingly enough, the legislature did come up with a budget and the governor signed it, but it was kind of a strange document in some ways. It did go back to two-thirds funding, but then the question is, how big a pie is it? If I'm going to give you two-thirds of the pie, and it's a small pie, it's not that much pie. If it's a big pie, then it's a bigger piece of pie. So it's two-thirds, but it's not what school people want.
And we see in a lot of cases, local school referenda passing many times, 90%, I think, in 2020. Does that suggest to you that, hey, in these districts, the pie wasn't big enough to begin with?
For sure. And in many cases, for a while, I was fairly certain that it could be said that higher income districts, wealthier districts, were benefiting from this the most because that's where people were going to vote to increase school spending. There have been exceptions to that, most notably that Milwaukee passed by an overwhelming margin, a school funding referendum in the spring of 2020. So sometimes that isn't true, but nonetheless, it's kind of a short-term thinking way of solving school funding problems.
We're talking about the state of education in Wisconsin. Alan Borsig is with us from the Marquette University Law School, a fellow in law and public policy there, education columnist at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Let's bring on a caller now at 800-642-1234. Philip is with us in Neenah. Philip, hello.
Hi. I just had a quick question about how federal aid fits into the school budget this year. I thought there was some controversy about how the federal government required states not to reduce their budgetary contributions to the state budget as a result of the one-time federal aid. Is that still a problem with the budget proposal this year?
Philip, interesting question. So the idea that you're not supposed to use the federal COVID relief money to backfill local or state cuts, Alan, how has that worked out?
Well, it worked out. Again, I can't say that with a whole lot of enthusiasm. The Republicans' initial proposal didn't continue this what's called maintenance of effort. And so they put a lot of money kind of into a set-aside fund, maybe for schools, that and also a lot of money into what's labeled school support, but is actually property tax relief. It does not go to schools at all. It goes to property tax relief in local communities. So they came up with enough money for education that it meets the federal maintenance of effort standards, but it didn't really increase school spending. You know, that's kind of sounds like a contradictory statement, but that's the way it really is.
Philip, thanks a lot for calling in with that question. Turning away from the money side of things, Alan, a big concern, of course, with the pandemic and schools, a lot of remote learning, how much learning loss there was for students? How much did kids fall behind where they hoped they were? What do we know about that? How are people trying to even measure that?
Well, the data isn't very strong for Wisconsin, but test results from last year, I believe, are going to be released maybe like in early November, and those will tell a lot. The indications nationwide are that districts that where kids were in virtual learning for most or almost all of the school year, the kids did not make very much progress. Ones where kids were in school, they may have been running a lot more health threats, but they were getting more schooling. Milwaukee, I think, is a really strong example of a school district that really didn't have school hardly till just near the end of the school year. My guess, and I've heard some suggestions from people who I think know, is that the Milwaukee scores this year are going to be very concerning. That's an understatement, probably. And that's, of course, the neediest, shall we say, school district in the state. So overall, learning at home, virtual learning didn't work well as a way of learning. You know, schools were caught and are still caught between this rock and a hard place on health versus learning, and no one's really good at navigating that.
All right, Alan, thought exercise for you. Thought exercise for you in our last minute or so here. If I could put you in a room or a Zoom meeting with leading Republicans and Democrats involved in education policy, what would you tell them, plead with them to focus on as a number one priority for Wisconsin schools?
Well, to work together and to really focus on kids. I mean, the Blue Ribbon Task Force that was created by Republicans in the Assembly, 3 years ago, had a number of fairly bipartisan resolutions, recommendations, but it almost went almost nowhere. My suggestion sometimes has been lock the door, tell the people inside, the good news is I have an unlimited budget for pizza. The bad news is you're not coming out till you all agree on something.
Good place to leave it, Alan. Thanks a lot for joining us again.
Glad to be here.
That's Alan Vorsek, senior fellow in law and public policy at Marquette University Law School and an education columnist with the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Earlier, we talked to Wisconsin State Superintendent of Public Instruction Jill Underley about school funding, COVID, civics, and her first ever State of Education address. Still time to share your thoughts, your hopes, and or fears for schools in Wisconsin. You can email ideas@wpr.org. And of course, you can always tweet us @CentralTimeWPR.